Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Two Guys, One Cup, the FPL podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm Shez. Alongside me, I've got my co-host, Sham. So, Sham, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been busy. I was moving house. I also got a shout-out from Patrick Van Aanholt this week on Twitter. I don't think I told you.
No, you didn't.
But basically, he tweeted out and said, oh, you know, what's everyone up to this weekend? And I tweeted him back and I said, oh, I'm moving house. And I showed him a picture of my boxes. And he replied back saying, wow, that's a lot of boxes. So that's my claim to fame this week.
Fair play.
How have you been? How's Portugal? How are you feeling?
Portugal's great. As you know, I picked up a bit of a bug when I got back, but I'm on the mend and ready to talk some FPL.
Good stuff.
So, you know, we decided to change the structure of the pod slightly. So what's on the agenda for today?
So, yeah, as Shez said, we've decided to change things a bit. We got a feel that the last few pods, the game week one, the previous game week review was quite long. So we thought we'd change things up a little bit and add a few extra things that listeners wanted. So the first thing we're going to be doing is reviewing both of our teams. We'll then review the No Champs League team, followed by league update. Then talking about the FPL top scorers this week. The new feature which is under the radar. We'll then talk about a few hot topics from the FPL community, following then a game week 4 preview, followed by captains and transfers, and ending with your questions. So Shez, let's kick off with a review of our team. So how did you get on this week?
I scored 57 points. I'm reasonably happy with that. I mean, the average for the week was 50. It wasn't the highest scoring game week. And I think before the Tottenham United game, it was, you know, it was even lower. So reasonably happy with that. Most of my points, in fact, just over half my points came from my back line, my defence and my keeper. So, you know, we're almost seeing that sort of back line, that three-man defence template of Alonso, Mendy, Robertson with a number of FPL players, and they've served me well this season. Salah, again, Mr. Consistent, was my captain.
Didn't you want to get him out, Shez?
Well, at the moment, he's been consistent, so he's staying in my team.
Just so you guys know, right, Shez messaged me on Saturday before the game, and he was like, if Mane delivers and Salah doesn't, he's gone from my team. And as soon as Salah scored, I was like, go on then, get rid of him. I dare you. Do it.
Well, Mane's 3.5 million cheaper. But yeah, no, Salah's been Mr. Consistent this season. So for the time being, he remains in my team. What's slightly more concerning is that taking Salah, my back line out, they scored 46 out of my 57 points. So the remaining six, in fact, didn't do much. Richarlison sent off a -2, which, you know, hit a number of FPL players. He had such a great start. I know a number of people transferred him in this week.
Imagine if you did that.
Yeah, then I would have been really frustrated. But, you know, he served me well in the first 2 weeks. Mahrez didn't even start, and I'm starting to lose patience with him, and I think I'll give him one more week. Aside from that, Aguero, I mean, again, last week he was fantastic. This week, you know, 2 points, not ideal. Zaha scored one, but he picked up a yellow card. And then, you know, Pedro and Ings really didn't do much. How about you, Sham?
So I scored 59 points. Decent week. I'm pretty happy with that. Jumped from 40-odd-K overall rank to 21K. So I'm sitting on 239 now at the moment. Main players that did it for me, again, Salah was 16 points, and then the same back three that you have, Alonso, Robertson, Mendy. But I was pleased that finally Fabianski got some save points, which I've been talking about, and he delivered with 5 points. I think he got 2 BPS as well, or 1 BPS.
He got one.
1 BPS, yeah. So was happy with that. Firmino delivered with an assist, Zaha with the goal, and then I had Kun, Frazier, Mkhitaryan delivering two, and obviously the same as you, Richarlison with a minus two. But look, I'm delighted with the 21k start so far. I would have bitten your hand off that at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, that's basically my team.
Yeah, that's very good.
Do you want to go through our No Champs League team, Shez?
Yeah, the No Champs League team had a bit of a disappointing game week. 38 points.
It's doing pretty crap, isn't it? It just...
Yeah, I mean, the only one that really did okay was Alonso. Aside from that, we had Aubameyang as captain. Scored 4 points in total, but nobody else, really.
Do you think it's time to wildcard that team?
The issue is, who do you bring in? I mean, I think this team here emphasises the importance of having players from the top four, in particular City and Liverpool.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that was just a quick recap of the No Champions League team.
Cool. And then do you want to give us a league update? So maybe the top five teams?
Top five? I thought we'd do top 22.
Top 22, is that what you're 22nd, are you?
I'm currently 22nd. Top 5, oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, it is convenient.
Who's number 5? My co-host himself, Sham, sitting pretty there on 239 points. Well done. In 4th, my work colleague David. He copied my template initially, but now has outperformed me. Well done, David. We've got Sven van den Acker in 3rd place with 243 points. Ryan King in 2nd, 244 points, 65 points this week. So well done, Ryan. And Kevin Ward, top of the table, 245 points, 53 points this week. So it's pretty close to the top.
Nice.
6 points between the top five.
Nice. I'll be taking first spot next week then, I think.
Well, I think whoever's in 22nd might be up there.
Right. So let's move on to a review of the top scorers from this week. So we thought we'd split it up with goalkeepers and defenders, midfielders and strikers. So top scoring goalkeeper this week was Lossell from Huddersfield.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so sorry for Hamer owners. Like, he got subbed off after, I think it was like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Lossell came in with 9 points. It was always going to go that way against Cardiff. I could see 0-0 written all over it. I don't think there's much else to talk about that with regards to that.
But the only point there is whether Hamer comes back in or whether Lossell retains his place.
If he's fit,
who then becomes number one going forward? Lossell kept a clean sheet. He was impressive last season. So that's the only risk if you're carrying Hamer, I am.
Oh, have you got Hamer?
I have. He's my second keeper.
Right, okay.
I mean, I don't plan to ever play him. I've got Alisson as my number one, but I also don't want to drop in value there.
Yeah. Okay, and then the defenders. So in top spot was Alonso with 11 points. Well, what else can we say about Alonso? We both brought him in this week. He delivered for us. Interesting stat for you, and I was absolutely shocked when I read this. So Alonso had 108 touches this week, 81 of them in the opponent's half. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, he was almost playing like a left winger at times, but I didn't realise the number of touches he had in the opponent's half was that high.
Yeah, his heat map is essentially like a left, like a winger.
Yeah.
Definitely he is, I think, at the moment essential, I would say. The first three games he's got double-digit hauls. Definitely you need to try and get him in. Would you go as far as to say maybe like a... Would you take a minus four? I mean, you did take a minus four last week, didn't you?
I took a minus four.
Would you take a minus four to bring him in?
I took a minus four because I wanted to avoid the price rise. I got him at 6.5 and he's already 6.7.
Okay.
At 6.7, if he's still scoring double digits every week, he's still good value.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah.
It's just whatever he can sustain this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the community are thinking potentially with Richarlison being sent off, he's going to miss a couple of games, doing a double switch and going Richarlison to a 4.5 and maybe a 4.5 up to Alonso, something like that. that is a consideration potentially, I would say. But, you know, I definitely think if you don't have him, you have to bring him in however you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you've got the funds, then definitely.
And then Trippier, also with 11 points. He got subbed off. I thought Man U were then going to score after that, but they didn't end up scoring. You could probably talk about this one, Chez, considering he delivered against your team.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to talk about this game either. Yeah, it's 2 weeks in a row where United have lost.
How did Trippier play? What did you think?
He played well. He played well. I mean, he missed game week one, and you know he's only played two game weeks, and he scored 11 points each week. So he's definitely got FPL potential there. He's still at 6 million. So I'm actually considering bringing him in myself. The risk with him is whether there's going to be any rotation with Aurier.
Yeah, that's my worry as well. That's my worry with the fullbacks. Like we've seen with Ben Davis as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had Rose starting. And I think Trippier is more likely to be starting most games than Davis. I think there's going to be less rotation on the right side. But again, at 6 million, you don't really want any rotation, do you, if you're paying sort of premium prices?
Yeah.
He played well. He delivers crosses well.
He created three chances as well. He didn't have any shots. But I think with Trippier, you don't really expect for him to score. It's more
the assist, but also you'd expect Tottenham to pick up a number of clean sheets along the way.
Yeah. Okay, so... and then in third, we had 10 points for Monreal and Keane and Maguire. So Monreal scored the goal, 59 touches, 28 in the opponent's half, one shot. Arsenal have got good fixtures coming up. He's like, I think, 1% owned.
Yeah.
Is he one that you would consider?
He's priced at 5.5, possibly. Possibly, but
I can't invest in Arsenal defence though. That's the worry.
Yeah, that's the only issue at the moment. I can't see picking up too many clean sheets.
We should have won that game. Like before, Arnie got sent off.
He got stuffed 3-1.
Yeah, no, but it was 1-1 up until like the 70th minute. Arnautovic got subbed off on the 60th because he was injured.
Yeah,
but he should have scored at least two or three times. He should have scored. I think Arsenal's defence is weak, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they're going to keep as many clean sheets as someone like Liverpool. And also, are Monreal's attacking returns going to be as good as someone like Alonso or Mendy or Robertson?
Yeah.
I personally don't think so. If he was at 5, then yeah, I would probably consider him at 5.5. You know, 0.5 upgrade, you get someone like Trippier or Robertson. Or Robertson's gone up to 6.1, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So... not for me. If he starts getting more attacking returns, then I'll consider him, but not at this stage.
Okay. So let's move on to the midfielders. So this is going to bite you in the arse. So, well, it has bitten you in the arse, to say. So Lucas Moura, 15 points. Chez, you had him last week and you subbed him out.
Yeah, this one hurts. This one hurts.
I told you, man. I don't know why you did it.
Yeah, I mean, I know he sort of scored last week, but I thought they're playing United... I thought it would be a tight game. I didn't think, you know, he'd be getting a brace. And Pedro looked good. So Chelsea on paper had the easier fixture. So that's the reason I switched him up, and also to free up the 0.5 of funds. Yeah, it has bitten me in the arse. But, you know, it's one game week. Tottenham have a few difficult fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
So I can live with that.
Is he one that you think... He went up 0.1 last night in like quick time. Do you think he's one that people should be investing in, or kind of is the ship sailed with that one and that's pretty much... because people are looking at him as a potential Richarlison replacement if they've got money in the bank. I don't know whether or not... I mean, his XG was only 0.56, so it goes to show he overperformed from what, you know, from the chances he had. Six penalty area touches, two shots, one chance created. I don't know whether or not that's one to go on, with Son potentially coming back after the international break.
That's the issue, the fact that you've got Son coming back, Lamella.
I think Lamella's injured.
Yeah, but once he's back, you know, it'll be those three fighting essentially for Moura's place. You can't see Eriksen being dropped. You can't see Ali being dropped.
Yeah.
Kane won't be dropped. So it's going to be Son, Moura and Lamella fighting for that one spot. So there's going to be rotation there. Tottenham don't have the easiest of fixtures coming up. So he did well. I mean, again, if he does well over the next few game weeks and it looks like he's nailed on.
I wouldn't say they're bad fixtures, though. So you've got Watford away, Liverpool at home, Brighton away. It's not...
They're not easy fixtures. Watford have had a great start. I don't necessarily expect them to continue that, but going away to Watford's not going to be easy. Liverpool, arguably one of the strongest teams in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very difficult game. Brighton... Was it Brighton, the third game?
Yeah, Brighton away.
Brighton away. I mean... Okay, granted, United have struggled against most teams at the moment, but United struggled there.
Yeah. So not one for you to bring in?
No.
Not after you've taken him out.
Well, I've taken him out. and also, around that price bracket, I think there are other players. You know, you could save 0.5 there. And you've got Walcott, Pereira.
Yeah. Pedro.
And Pedro.
Okay, and then we had, with 9 points, Seri and Gray. So Gray's quite an interesting one. I'm not really going to talk about Seri because he's a defensive midfielder and he's not going to give that much potential, I don't think. But Gray, 2 shots, 1 on target, 4 penalty area touches, only 5.5.
Gray's an interesting one because I went to the first game of the season, United Leicester, and Gray was the one player from Leicester that actually stood out.
Yeah,
you know, he was making some good dribbles, putting in some good crosses, and he did actually stand out to me, and I'd actually forgotten about him. So it's interesting that he scored pretty well. It's just whether, you know, how are Leicester going to perform this season?
Yeah, we don't know.
That's the only thing.
Okay, and then we've got, with 8 points, Hazard, Salah, Gundogan and Pereira. Hazard, 5 shots, 1 on target, 1 chance created. He looked good. He looked like the old Hazard.
He looked very good. He was running the show. I mean, everything was going through Hazard. And bear in mind, he's still not at peak fitness. So once he gets going, you can see him doing well.
And then just a quick one on Salah. So I was really surprised by his stats. Not necessarily surprised, but he should have got more. So 6 shots, 4 on target, 6 chances created. I would not be selling him. I don't even know why you were thinking about it. But if you've got him, he is going to be delivering.
Yeah. I mean, my only consideration was because Mane had a great start to the season and there's a considerable price difference between the two. But obviously now Salah's returned this game week, Mane hasn't, so...
And then moving on to the forwards, we've got Mitrovic. So 16 points. I think I tipped him on the last pod.
You did.
I was really, like, I'm sure if you guys probably have realised by now, but I'm pretty much a stats man and I love my stats. And a lot of my picks, I go based on stats. So when up until last pod, he was like 11 shots, most shots in the league. And I really fancied him and, you know, he delivered. So 4 shots, although his XG was only 0.55, he still got 16 points. What do you think of him, Chez?
He looked good. He looked very good. But I don't know if you recall, I mentioned in the last pod as well that I do think Fulham will do well this season. I think they are going to score goals. I can't afford Mitrovic, otherwise I would bring him in. Because I think at that price bracket, he's going to be definitely possibly the highest scorer around that. Is it 6.5?
Yeah. No, I think it's gone up to 6.6 now. 6.6. And then we've got the old adversary, Kane. 12.5 million, 10 points, 2 shots, 1 on target. I think you were thinking about bringing him in at some point, right, Chez?
I do want to bring him in because, you know what, he's scoring in August. So if Kane's scoring in August,
yeah.
What's he going to do in September? Yeah. But the issue is, you know, is it feasible to have a premium back line, Salah, Aguero and Kane? I'm not sure that's possible. That's
without a shit midfield.
Yeah. I mean, your midfield's going to be dire, but I mean, they're not doing much for me anyway at the moment. So if that continues, then I may very well bring in Kane. But at the moment, I can't see a way to squeeze him in.
And then we've got King and Vieto with 9 points. So just a quick one on Vieto. It's 5.5 million. He's classed as a striker. But I spoke to a guy who's a Fulham season ticket holder and he's been playing on the wing. So it's not one that I would consider yet, especially with Mitrovic. I'd rather spend the extra million on Mitrovic. But King, again, you transferred him out, Chez.
King is just the biggest FPL troll for me. I had him last season and then I'll take him out and then he scores. And I told you the same would happen this time.
Yep.
I took him out and lo and behold, what does King do? He scores. I mean, I brought in Ings, who didn't do anything, but he's a million cheaper, and it meant that I could get someone like Alonso. So it's not the end of the world. Let's see if King can keep this up.
Okay, so that was a quick review of last week in terms of the top scorers. And now we're going to move on to a new feature, which is the under the radar section. So this is where we're going to talk about one or two players that have kind of we really like the look of from either previous game weeks or the previous game week. And this week, I'm going to talk about Schürrle. So, Schürrle is 5.9 million. This game week, just gone, he had 11 shots. The most of any player this week. 5 shots on target, 9 penalty area touches, 3 chances created, 4 shots in the penalty box. Next 3 fixtures are Brighton away, City away, and Watford at home. Okay, mixed bag of fixtures.
Yeah,
but for 5.9 million, I definitely think he's one that I don't think many people have kind of had a look at or, you know, spoken about much.
No, they haven't. But the issue there with him as well is he going to be starting every game? So he started the first game, he started this last one, but he didn't start the second game against Tottenham. Fulham do have a number of options in that position. So, yeah, you're right. I didn't even consider him, and I wasn't aware that he had taken so many shots. And I think that's considerably...
That's in one game.
Yeah, that's considerably more than anyone else in this game week. But Fulham looked really good this game week. Yeah, will they be playing like that every week?
Yeah.
That's the only other thing. And they've got a few difficult fixtures. Is he nailed on to start? Debatable. So, yeah, an interesting one.
One to keep an eye on, definitely.
Yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on. But
maybe not to move on straight away, but one for people to keep an eye out for. And then the second one is Ali. So, so far this season, he's had 8 shots, 3 on target, 4 in the box. 9.1 million. I think he's starting to play a little bit better. How did he play last night? You watched the game. What did you think?
He played well. I mean, most of the Tottenham boys did. I guess with Ali, it just becomes almost a consideration of him versus Moura. I guess you're paying the additional amount because you know he's guaranteed to start.
Yeah.
But if you're sort of looking at it from a short-term perspective, then Moura looks more lively, more likely to score FPL points. If you're thinking about someone to bring in for several game weeks and you don't need to worry about transferring them out, then Ali, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that was our two under the radar picks. So we will have a quick break and then come back with our hot topic section. Okay, welcome back, guys. So, the first hot topic that we have is Richarlison replacements. And Chez, I think we've had a few questions on this one. So, what were they and who are they from?
Yes, Sham, we've had 3 questions on this. The first is from @rotationfbl, and he would like to hear our 1 template pick on this and 1 punty pick on this and the reasons for this. He's made his decision, but just wants another opinion. We've also got a question from @alexamo5. Do you like Schürrle as a Richarlison replacement? And lastly, @fpl_rubberducky, With the Twitter community seemingly bringing in Walcott for Richarlison, is there a danger of not looking long-term with someone like Mkhitaryan?
Okay, so all good options there, good questions. So let's, I guess, go for the first question. So one template pick, Shez. So I guess for me, the template kind of picks would be Pedro, Walcott, potentially Pereira, and I guess after last night, Moura.
Yeah, I think it's got to be one of those four as a template pick.
Which ones do you like out of those four?
I think for me, Pedro and Walcott. Moura, I've already mentioned the reasons earlier. I think he's got a few difficult fixtures coming up. I'm not sure Watford will sustain the level of play that, you know, they've been maintaining. They've had a very good start to the season. They've got a few difficult fixtures. They've got Spurs at home next. Pedro and Walcott, for me, have got more favourable fixtures. I mean, I don't know, Sham, have you got any stats on these?
Yeah, so for me, Pedro stands out stats-wise. So 2 goals, 14 penalty area touches, 9 attempts, 5 of those in the box, 4 on target, 4 chances created. If you compare that to Walcott, he's had 2 goals, 1 assist, 13 penalty area touches, 4 attempts on goal, 3 in the box, 3 on target, 3 chances created. It just feels like, you know, so he scored 2 goals out of, you know, 4 shots, 3 of which were on target. It's like it's unsustainable. It's similar to Richarlison. Whereas Pedro's having more attempts. And, you know, I think fixtures-wise, I would kind of say they're pretty even. So Walcott's got Huddersfield at home, West Ham at home, Arsenal away. Okay, Arsenal away is going to be a tough one. But then Pedro has got Bournemouth at home, Cardiff at home, West Ham away. Better fixtures, I would say, for Chelsea.
Yeah, probably slightly better fixtures. But Walcott's guaranteed to start every game. Is Pedro guaranteed to start?
Yeah, that's true.
There could be rotation there with Willian. So I think if you're asking me to choose out of the four, it would be Pedro and Walcott. If you're asking me to nail it down to one, on the assumption he starts, Pedro.
Okay. So I would say that's probably what I think. I would prefer Pedro as well. That's my template pick as well. And then a punty pick. So he mentions, I think he said, e.g. Schürrle or Gundogan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Schürrle. I bigged him up as my under-the-radar pick. I definitely think he's one to consider. If you're going to go for a punty pick, he's one for me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Gundogan for me. He's more of a central midfielder for City. And although City are likely to score more goals, again, Gundogan may be rotated. David Silva's back now. Probably in a month and a half, KDB will be back as well. So, you know, he's not nailed on to start every week. Schürrle, again, he could be rotated, but he provides more of an attacking threat. So if it's out of the two, probably Schürrle. But that's just a pun, and I probably wouldn't go for either one of the two.
Okay. And then what was the second question? Something about Schürrle. I think someone mentioned Schürrle.
Do you like Schürrle as a Richarlison replacement? It's not that I don't like him, but I think there are better options.
Yes is the answer for me. Oh, West Ham have scored. Oh, sorry, we're in the middle of watching the West Ham and Wimbledon game. We were losing. Oh, we scored. Yeah, sorry, gone.
Anyway, back to FPL. Not the Mickey Mouse Cup. No, I don't particularly like Schürrle as a replacement simply because I think Pedro and Walcott are better options.
Okay, and then I think the third question was it, are we missing Mkhitaryan or something?
Yeah, it was, you know, the Twitter community's going on about bringing in Walcott for Richarlison. Is there a danger we're overlooking Mkhitaryan?
I've already got Mkhitaryan, otherwise I would have been looking at bringing him in. I really like Mkhitaryan. I think he's a good option. Arsenal got good fixtures. If I didn't have Mkhitaryan, I would have probably brought in him for Richarlison. Do you have him?
I don't have him. I'm slightly torn on him. He's had a good start to the season. he's a little bit more expensive than someone like Walcott or Pereira.
He's only 0.5 though.
Yeah, but 0.5 still makes a difference.
Stats wise, one goal, one assist, 13 penalty area touches, 8 attempts, 4 in the box, 2 on target, 7 chances created. He's got more of a assist threat as well, more so than any of them.
You say 0.5, but 0.5 at the start of the season is the difference between having Van Dijk and Alonso.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, that's true. Okay, anything else on Richarlison replacements?
No, I think we've named a few there. I think my preference is Pedro or Walcott. Mkhitaryan's an option, and Schürrle's sort of a punt.
I think the boat sailed in Moura as well. I think if you don't have him now, I don't think you should be getting him in.
Not with the fixtures that are coming up.
Okay, next hot topic is triple captain Kun.
You're crazy.
So, I put it out on Twitter a couple of days ago that I am 80% sure that I was captaining Kun. I'm now 95% sure I'm captaining Kun.
Did you watch the Chelsea-Newcastle game? Newcastle parked the bus. They played with 5 at the back. And it almost worked. They almost got a draw out of it. Do you think Rafa is going to be changing his strategy for City away? If anything, he might stick a 6-foot player there.
Right, so this is actually one of my points. So I've got a 5-point reason as to why I'm going to want... Well, why I currently want to triple captain Kun. And it's currently activated on him. If we get anything from press conferences that change my reasons why...
I reckon you'll bottle it. I reckon it'll be Saturday morning. You'll be like, what am I doing?
So these are my reasons. The first reason is his record. So last year, at home versus Newcastle, 3 goals. 15-16, which is the last time they played them, before that, 5 goals. Last time they played them before that, 1 goal, 1 assist. All Kun's record here, right? Okay. So that's my first thing, is the record. The second thing is, people are saying you're better off triple captain in double game weeks. And my argument to that is they don't always deliver. Yes, you've got a higher ceiling because they've got 2 mm-hmm. chances to do it. But out of my last 3 seasons, the only one that's delivered on that was Sanchez. You know, last year I had Kane, and the year before that, I can't remember who I had, but I know they didn't deliver. And Kane, like, he got... It was the... I think it was game week 11 or something when he didn't play the first one, or he played one game, you know, I think 5 minutes of it or something stupid like that. And I just think sometimes they can deliver in a single game week. Okay. And I think it's worth the risk, especially with his record. And as you know, I'm a stats man, and those stats I can't look past. So that's the second reason. The third reason is I've had quite a good start to the season, 21k rank. And what I noticed last season is I had a poor rank from the beginning, and that kind of changed the way that I was playing throughout the season. So I was making silly transfers and almost chasing. And if Kun delivers and he hauls, that can really help me maintain, you know, my rank and ensure for the rest of the season that I'm playing smart.
Okay.
That's number 3. Number 4, people saying about Pep Roulette, Kun might not even start. I can't see him not starting Kun at home against a team that he smashes all the time.
Okay.
Right? And the 5th reason is people like you, like you've just said about Newcastle defence, they were solid against Chelsea. Firstly, Newcastle were playing at home. Secondly, they were playing Chelsea away. A Chelsea team. You cannot compare Chelsea and Man City. It's like 2 different animals, right? Man City are going to be at home, and they play completely different style of football. Newcastle are going to be on the back foot, and I think that argument of Newcastle defence is stupid.
Okay, I'm going to counteract all your points right there.
Go on.
So your first point is you're going by history.
Yeah.
Do you know what Tottenham's record was at Old Trafford before yesterday? If you want to go by history.
What? But it's Tottenham and Man U. It's not fucking Man City.
Yeah, but you're still going by history. You're still going by history, and, you know, last season is not an indicator of what's going to happen this season, not necessarily. So I don't think you can necessarily go by that. Secondly, what was your second point?
My second point was triple captains in a double game week.
Okay, triple captain and a double game week. Statistically, two games or one, where are you likely to score more points? You messed up last season because I think you had Lukaku as your triple captain, didn't you?
No, I had Kane.
You had Kane. And you chose... it wasn't a double game week, was it?
No, it was a double game week. Was it? Yeah, yeah.
Or you chose a wrong double game week because I got mine right. Thirdly, maintaining a good start. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's all very well being in the top 10, 20k now, but it's where you are at the end of the season.
No, I get that, but it's a mentality, isn't it? If you're chasing, you're going to be taking points hits, and that's what I was doing last season. Whereas if I can get into the top 5k with a good haul, then I'm likely to play smart and clever.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be based on your game rank. You make your decisions based on what's right and what's wrong. I don't think you don't think about chasing, especially so early on in the season. Fourthly, Pep roulette. First of all, we never know who the hell Pep's going to decide. And I don't know if you recently read, but Aguero got caught smoking shisha. Now, I heard City have decided not to do anything about it because apparently there was no nicotine in there, so it shouldn't affect his performance. But ultimately, we don't know whether that's at the back of Pep's mind. So, is he going to start or not? That's it. Newcastle defence versus Chelsea. Yeah, you're right. Chelsea is a different animal to City. But that was Newcastle playing at home, and they were defensive like that. Can you imagine how they're going to be away from home?
Yeah, but you've got the home crowd jeering you on and all of that. It's different, man.
It's completely different. You know, I think Newcastle will park the bus. And don't get me wrong, I would still be captaining Aguero, most likely. But I don't think it's the week to be triple captaining him.
Yeah, you ain't got balls, that's why.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, let's see if it pays off for you. But if not, then, you know, next week's going to be a fun pod.
So that's basically the arguments for and against. I guess it's now up to you whether or not you decide to...
He's going
to
bottle it, I guarantee you, Saturday morning. Well,
listen, if I get any indication from Pep that Kun's place might be at risk, then no, I'm not going to take that risk.
He will bottle it, I guarantee
and,
you.
And I'm not going to be reading The Guardian either.
I heard that Mr. Jackson's got a certain article to publish.
Right, the next section is Aubameyang. So, a lot of people have got him in. Not sure what to do with him. Three games, three blanks. Stats-wise, he's had 0 goals, 5 penalty error touches, 8 goal attempts, 4 of them in the box, 3 on target, 6 chances created. But the next 3 fixtures are Cardiff away, Newcastle away, Everton at home. If you had him, would you be keeping him? What would you be doing?
They're not bad fixtures. I mean, I tipped him at the start of the season. I thought he was going to have a really good season. It's difficult to read too much into it because, you know, we've only had 3 game weeks and I still think he'll kick on. The problem is, at price that 11 million, you've got someone like Aguero who last week was phenomenal in game week 2. So it's just whether you decide to be patient with him. Also, you know, this next game week 4, who's going to be your captain choice? You know, if you've got Aubameyang, does that mean you don't have Aguero?
Wait, but a lot of people have both.
But then, who have you missed out on? If you have both, do you then have Salah as well?
Yeah.
You know, and there may be people that've got all three, but then you're sacrificing somewhere else. You know, you're missing potentially Alonso, Mendy, and Robertson in your back line. It's a tough one because it's going to be one of those that if you take him out, he's going to score, like what happened with me at King.
Do you know what my biggest worry with him, if I was an owner, is Lacazette is coming on and he's influencing the game. Welbeck came on and he scored.
Yeah.
Is his start at risk? That is a potential.
No, I mean, as long as Arsenal are winning, I know they had the difficult first 2 games, but they beat you guys, and if they win the next few games, then I don't think his place will necessarily be at risk. It's just whether his position changes. So it's whether Lacazette does eventually start and Aubameyang is then put onto the left wing. But that may actually benefit him. It may free him up slightly where he's not marked by the centre-backs and he's got a bit of space. Whether you keep him or sell him is a tough one. I think his fixtures are reasonable. If I had him, and you've got Aguero, then I would probably give him one more week. If you don't have Aguero, then I'd probably do the switch.
Okay. I think I'm on the same lines as you.
Okay. Perfect. What do we have and next?
The final hot topic is Man United defence. Oh, Chez, take it away.
Where do we start? De Gea.
If you've got him, do you leave?
I think you get rid of him. I was expecting us to get a result against Tottenham. I thought we were going to have patchy away form this season, but our home form would carry us through. There are issues with Mourinho, and I'm not sure they're going to go away anytime soon. We've got Burnley away next. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. At 6 million, he's the most expensive keeper in the game. You know, he needs to be keeping clean sheets, and ultimately, I don't see that coming anytime soon. So if I had him, I would sell him.
And you would prioritise him, like, because you only get one free transfer a week, so would you be prioritising him as your free transfer?
It depends. I mean, if you've got someone like Richarlison and you don't have a bench to cover Richarlison's absence, and also bearing in mind Richarlison's price is dropping, then, yeah, I mean, Richarlison's a bigger priority, but I would be looking to get De Gea out as soon as possible. I mean, I got Shaw out last week, and that's because I knew we wouldn't keep a clean sheet against Tottenham, and I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet against Burnley. So, if you're happy with 2 points against Burnley, which is what I think he'll get, then fine. But, I mean, also, do you take a hit for a keeper or a defender? I'm always against taking hits for keepers and defenders.
Yeah.
Because a keeper needs to be scoring at least 6 for you to have any sort of return.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you've got a free transfer this week, then I would prioritise Richarlison if you have him. And if you can get De Gea out, I would get him out as well. In terms of the remaining United back line, who knows who else is going to start. The only player that actually did well against Tottenham was Shaw, and he looked good. And I think Mourinho praised him after the game. Valencia was terrible. I have no idea who's going to be starting at centre-backs. I don't even know who our best centre-back pairing is anymore.
Jones got injured, didn't he?
Jones got injured. Smalling was at fault for Moura's second goal. Lindelof is not fit to play in the Championship, let alone the Premier League. I still believe Baye is our best defender, but he had a shocker against Brighton. Rojo's coming back to fitness. I don't even know who's going to be starting there. I mean, the only one player that I would consider the United back line is Shaw, because he might get some assists.
Would you keep him? I know you swapped him for Alonso.
I swapped him for Alonso. If you've got the funds to free him up for an Alonso, Mendy or Robertson, or a Trippier or that kind of a player, then yeah, I would switch him. If it's a case of just switching him for another 4.5 or a 5 million player, then I would probably, yeah, then I'd keep him, but otherwise I'd switch him.
Okay, so that's a bit on the Man U defence. So let's talk about game week 4 preview. So this weekend, new set of fixtures. So we're going to go through each of the fixtures and maybe pick out one or two players FPL-wise that we like and what we consider a good pick. So what's the first game, Chez?
It's Leicester versus Liverpool. It's a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday.
So Salah, Mane and Robertson.
Yep.
Again, the kind of usual three, I guess.
Yep, the three of them. I mean, I've had Robertson, Alisson, and they've kept clean sheets throughout, and that served me well. And again, I think Leicester at home against Liverpool will be just looking to play on the counter. So I can see another Liverpool clean sheet here. I don't know, is Vardy back yet?
No, I don't think he is. Game week 2 he got sent off, didn't he, I think? Yeah, it's game week 2. So I think he's still got another game. Although they're playing in the Carabao Cup, aren't they? So
yeah, no, Vardy's suspended until the 15th September, so he's going to miss this game. So, yeah, I mean, I'd expect Liverpool to win, and I can see them keeping a clean sheet. So, yeah, I think the players you've highlighted, Salah, Mane, Robertson, and I would add Alisson to that.
Mane is my biggest worry. Like, neither of us have Mane, and I just shit myself all the time.
Yeah, he's had a good start to the season.
Okay, next fixture.
Brighton versus Fulham.
So, for me, I really, you know, Do you know, one person that we didn't mention with a Richarlison replacement, as someone as a, you know, under the radar kind of bit, is Gross.
But he didn't start the last game, did he?
He didn't. And that's my only concern, which is why I'm not considering him yet. If he started the last game, I would have. I think he's a real standout in this one, and he's, their fixtures from like game week 7 or 8 are really strong. So for me, the two main picks here are going to be the ones that I'm looking at, Schürrle and Gross. And then you've got obviously Mitrovic, who banged in from last game.
Yeah, Brighton are strong at home. So I think this will be low scoring. I can't see many goals in this one. But I think, yeah, you're right. I think Mitrovic is the one player I would pick out from here. As, you know, someone who could score some points here. But aside from that, I can see this being a low scoring game with a 1-0 either way.
Okay, next one.
Chelsea Bournemouth.
This is going to be a high scoring game. I can see a 4-2 or something. Hazard always smashes it against Bournemouth as well.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I can see like a 4-2 or something. I can see Bournemouth scoring at least one.
Yeah.
And I can see Chelsea going route in here.
So in terms of players, so you're saying Hazard, I would say Alonso as well. I mean, yeah, he had, what was it, 80 odd touches in the opponent's half. So,
and Bournemouth are leaky, right?
Yeah, Bournemouth are leaky. They're not renowned for keeping a solid, you know, back line and lots of clean sheets.
And I'm guessing you probably don't want King or Wilson to score in this one.
Well, now that I don't have King in my team, you know, he'll probably be scoring. And it looks like he's on penalties.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. I can see both teams scoring here. So I think, yeah, Hazard, Alonso, Pedro from Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then the two front men for Bournemouth, King and Wilson.
Okay, next game.
Palace versus Southampton.
I think this will be a tight game.
I agree.
I think key men for me is Wan-Bissaka.
That's if he comes straight back in though.
Oh, he scored 2-1. Yeah, we scored. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, back to Palace, Southampton. Yeah, you said Wan-Bissaka, but you're assuming he's going to come straight back in.
Well, this is what we need to keep an eye out for, isn't it, in terms of does he come back straight? Because they're playing tonight and he started.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's an FPL dream at 4 million.
Yeah.
So if he does come straight back in, that's great. But there's a risk that he won't.
Yeah. And Zaha, whether or not he performs, again, he scored last game week.
Yeah, with Zaha, he needs to be playing on the wing. I mean, in the last game, as soon as he was shifted out to the wing, you could see he was in his element. He was dribbling. He was creating more chances. It's going to be tough against Southampton. They're going to keep it tight.
You've got Ings as well, haven't you?
I've got Ings, but I don't know how much longer he's going to stay in my team.
Already? You have to have patience, man.
Well, the thing is, I'm not quite sure why I brought him in. Because I told you at the start of the season, I think Southampton are going to be awful this season. And they don't score many goals.
Yeah.
So, next game is Everton Huddersfield.
3-0 Everton, 2-0 Everton.
Yeah, I can see Everton dominating this one. Huddersfield concede a number of chances. Everton at home are strong. It'll be interesting to see who comes in for Richarlison.
I think in Bernard.
I think I've heard Bernard.
Or Nias.
Nias or Lukman mentioned.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see who comes in on that side. And whether Walcott has more impetus to attack. But I agree, I think Everton will win this one comfortably. And I'm probably looking to bring Walcott in, so hopefully he'll score a few.
Next one.
It's your boys, West Ham versus Wolves. Oh, bearing in mind, gosh, Wolves held City.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. I can't call it. I think the main one is Arnautovic injury. He's got a late fitness test on Friday. So we'll find out whether or not.
What sort of injury was it?
I'm not really sure. It came off. I'm not sure what type of injury. But from the inside guys at West Ham, they're basically saying that he's got a late fitness test on Friday. He didn't play tonight. So we don't know how serious it is. It's one to keep an eye out for, depending on what they say. But us without Arnautovic is shit. So
Who would come in for him?
It'll be Hernandez. Or potentially Perez.
Okay. And so if it was Hernandez, he'd just be playing as a lone striker.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Or he might switch it up and go two up top with Lucas Perez and Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think this one might be a draw. I can see goals in this one. I think Wolves will attack you. They won't be afraid to play. They weren't afraid to play at City, against City, sorry. So yeah, I can see a few goals in this. Neves and Jota from Wolves. Arnautovic if he starts for you guys.
Next one.
And of course your safe points from Fabianski.
Yeah.
Next one is an important game for you. City versus Newcastle.
Yeah, so this main man is triple captain Kun, hopefully.
So that's a 1-0 Newcastle then?
I can see City going right here. I think a couple of things important here. How does Kun deliver? Does Kun deliver? But also, I think the starting lineup for you with regards to Mahrez.
Yeah, Mahrez has to start this game. If he doesn't start this game, then I'll probably sell him, you know, as soon as the lineup's announced. Because he's already having a price drop. He has to start. And not only has he got to start, he's got to deliver this game. I need some returns from him. You know, at just under 9 million now. He's an expensive player to not be starting. I expect City to win this one. I don't think it's going to be a comfortable victory. I think it's going to be 2-0. Okay. I think Newcastle will keep it tight. It all depends Aguero how...
Score two goals.
Look, I'm likely to be captaining Aguero, so yeah, I do want him to score. It all depends how early City can score. You know, if it's first half ends 0-0 and they haven't scored, then I can see it being a tight affair. Whereas if City score in the sort of the first 15 minutes, then, you know,
could be anything.
Yeah, it could be anything. Next game, Cardiff Arsenal. So Cardiff have had a few clean sheets.
Yeah.
They'll probably keep it tight against Arsenal. What are your thoughts?
I think key men for me here, Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang, those two need to deliver now. But again, like you say, Cardiff have kept it tight. Whether or not they'll score, I could see maybe like a 1-0 Arsenal or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there'll be going to be many goals in this game. I think Arsenal will nick it. But I can see it being a 1-0 or a 2-1.
Do you know one other guy that I don't think we've spoken about yet is Bellerin?
Yeah.
He got an assist. He's playing well, but again, do you want to invest in Arsenal defence? That's a concern at the moment, right? No. Okay, and then the next one.
Burnley United. So as soon as the Tottenham game was over, I told you if Mourinho's still in charge here, if you want to make some money, put money on Burnley to win. And I still stand by that. I'm not saying he's necessarily lost the dressing room. United played well in the first half against Tottenham, but I think the players are lacking confidence now.
Did you see his press conference?
Yeah. it's ridiculous, you know. He doesn't help himself. I think United are going to struggle in this one. And I can see Burnley turning us over. So, did we have a question on the Burnley back line?
Yeah, I think there was.
Yeah, there was. So there was a question from at odds on FPL. Are Burnley a spent force defensively?
I think they are, you know.
Well, do you know what? Against United, I can see them keeping a clean sheet.
Really?
Yeah. I think they will beat us. Turf Moor, I can see them beating us. So if I had Burnley defenders this week, I'd be keeping them. I wouldn't necessarily be bringing them in this week. But if you had them for this week, I'd keep them.
You're like anti-United.
No, I'm not anti-United. I'm realistic. I mean, I said to you last week, when you asked me about United Spurs, I said, heart says United, head says Spurs.
Yeah.
And I'm just being honest. I think, you know, there are issues at United. There's a lack of confidence there. You know, Lukaku missed essentially an open goal. It was a tight angle, but, you know, the defence looks awful. You know, I don't know myself who our best centre-back pairing is. So, yeah, that's always a bit worrying. And then the last game of the weekend is Watford versus Spurs.
An interesting one here. Two teams playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Men to pick out here. Pereira, how does he deliver against a good Spurs side? And Moura and Kane, I guess.
Yeah.
If Kane delivers two or three goals here, I think a lot of managers are going to be going into the international break thinking, do I wildcard and bring Kane in? Because I don't think you can bring Kane in on a, without a wildcard, without taking a minus eight, at least.
It depends. Depends if you've got someone like Aguero and Aubameyang and you're willing to sacrifice them. I think this game is going to be a tight one. In terms of key players, Kane, pretty much any three behind him, you know, Ali, Eriksen, Moura as well. In terms of Watford, it'd be interesting to see whether they can keep up their good start. Pereira and Holobas have been scoring good points. But I think this will be a tight game, which Tottenham will edge.
Okay. Let's move on to captains and transfers. So I've already spoken about my captain. Definitely Aguero, 95% triple captain as well. Chez?
Captain, I'm still torn between Aguero and Salah.
Really?
Likely to be Aguero. but I think there is a case for Salah as well. But it's going to be one of the two.
Okay. Transfers. So I need to take out Richarlison, and I'm yet to decide. Everton are playing tomorrow night, and I'm just holding off because if Walcott plays and he gets injured, I'm going to laugh my head off if you brought him in by then. Don't know if you are going to bring him in, but I would laugh my head off. So I'm just kind of like holding off just because if he does get injured, you don't. And I'm willing to take the 0.1 hit or the 0.2 hit on that, which I might have to take. Other option is Pedro. So again, I'm really undecided. I'll probably wait until Friday and just take the points hit, the price rise or price fall.
But have you got money in the bank to do so?
Yeah, I've got 1 million in the bank.
Okay.
So I can get, as it stands, I can get a player up to 7.6.
Right, okay.
So I'm unsure.
I had to take out Richarlison as well, and it's likely to be for Walcott. I've already got Pedro as well. And I said, you know, I think we mentioned earlier in the section that as sort of a like for like, those are the two from the sort of four that we mentioned that I would consider a punty pick as Schürrle, but I'm not convinced about their fixtures or about him, whether he's guaranteed to start. So, yeah, it'd probably be Walcott as well.
Okay, and then we've got a couple of questions left over. I think we covered a few of them. What are the rest of the questions, Chez?
So we've got one from EL Wise at EL Wise 3. Bournemouth and Watford seem to have a lot of good value attacking assets. Who would you recommend transferring in based on their form and stats in previous seasons? I think we've touched upon this already. In terms of Bournemouth, I think it's got to be their strikers.
Fraser.
Well, Fraser as well, but King and Wilson.
Well, which one do you take? That's the problem. I'd be going for Fraser personally.
It depends whether you need a midfielder or an attacker. But I think it's probably one of the three. If you need a midfielder, then Fraser's probably the easier one. If you need an attacker, that's where it becomes a little bit more complicated. Who do you go, Wilson or King?
No doubt the one you pick, the other one's going to score.
Well, yeah. I mean, Wilson's still a little bit cheaper.
His stats are better as well. Wilson's stats are better.
He plays a little bit further ahead. But now King appears to be on penalties.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost a flick of a coin. Personally, I'll probably go for Wilson because King stung me.
And then I think they said Watford as well, did they?
And Watford was the second team. Watford, Pereira. He's the one that stands out.
Yeah. I think we read some stats from them earlier and they're pretty decent. So 3 goals, 16 penalty error touches, 8 attempts, 8 in the box, 4 on target, 3 chances created. So,
okay, and then we've got a question from at the boss 876-191-13. Is 4 premium defenders whose value are 5.5 plus the way to go now given how prolific they have been?
Good question. I think at definitely 3 premium defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Mendy, Alonso, Robertson. And then you could stick a 4th someone like Trippier, or if you want to go double Liverpool, you know, VVD. I personally prefer 3 premium and Wan-Bissaka if he can get back in. Or you could potentially bring Alexander Arnold, $5 million.
Mm.
I don't necessarily know if I'd the go problem, for.
Yeah. I suppose you could. If you don't have Alisson, you could bring in Alexander Arnold, and then you've got double Liverpool back line, which is what I have at the moment, and it's worked out reasonably well for me. It's actually a very good question, because if you'd asked me at the start of the season, I would have said no way. But now I'm actually considering bringing in a fourth premium defender just because my midfield has been shocking. And you get better value at the back. So for 5.5 or 6 million, you can get a good player who gets some attacking returns. Whereas you need to go about 6.5 onwards to get a decent player like a Pereira in midfield to get any sort of return. So, yeah, I mean, definitely I'd consider it.
Any other questions?
No, that's, you know, there were a lot of questions about Richarlison. That's why we did a section on him.
Sorry, guys, I've got a really bad cough.
Somebody thinks you're absolutely mental for triple captaining Kun, and I agree with him. but we will assess that next week, unless you bottle it, of course. But yeah, those are all our questions.
Okay, so looking forward to next week's pod. If you're not following us on Twitter, please do so at FPL2Guys1Cup. As we've had a new format tonight, guys, I would really like your feedback. Something that we're not getting that much is your feedback. What you like about the pod, what you don't like. As we've mentioned before, we are a new pod, so any feedback is really, really grateful to us. Also, if you like what you've listened to, please share it, retweet it, like it, let us know, let people know about it. It's how our pod can grow. Anything else you want to add, Chez?
No, I mean, if you have any suggestions for us, anything else that you would like us to add in, let us know. We're more than willing to consider it. But apart from that, good luck for game week 4.
Yes, good luck, and we will speak to you next week.